Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue today. The topic began yesterday to talk about the rise of the Antichrist. Maybe that's one way we could talk about it. The great apostasy that Paul talks about in the scriptures, to understand what the church teaches about the return of the Lord. The point being, number one, that it's good to know, obviously, what both Jesus says, and Jesus does say a lot, especially the latter parts of Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel. He says a lot about being prepared and what's going to happen before he returns, the kind of signs that will appear, and the stress that'll be in the nations, the apostasy that's going to come, his plan. He wants us to know it. He wants us to draw some consolation and strength from it as well. He doesn't want us to be preoccupied with it, to be obsessed by it, to be worried about it, to be anxious about it. He just wants his friends to know and understand what the plan is and how the plan's going to unfold. Now, it's very clear from Scripture. Jesus said nobody knows the day or the hour of his return except the Father. But Jesus does say there's signs, proximate signs, things that will indicate that his return is not far off. Two of the significant signs I talked about yesterday that Paul addresses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is the great apostasy, that is believers turning away from Christ, and the rise of the Antichrist, this historic figure, this historic person, this human being that will be, a simple way to keep it in mind, will be like supercharged by the presence and power of Satan in his life. And Satan's going to use him, manipulate him to lead the devil's last battle against the church. Always remember, friends, human history is fundamentally the story of a battle between two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. It's the story of God. It's the story of God's creation. It's the story of God's plan and purpose for a people in the earth. It's the story of God's saving work, the beauty and the majesty and the gift of his Son, and the Lord in such a miraculous, powerful way, taking a fallen race of people, fallen from glory, and restoring them to glory and bringing them into the life of the kingdom of God and being a light on the earth, being able to be incarnate witnesses to the work of God, the salvation of God, to be God's love in the earth, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, living like Jesus, walking in his footsteps. I mean, that's the story. That's the central story. The most important story. The most important story in the world is not the environment, although that's important. The most important story is not global economy, though that's important. It's not global politics and who's right and who's wrong. That's important. But it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is what God is doing, is what God defines as important. It's so important for us to lay hold of that. And so seeing here God's plan and being able to have eyes to see what's happening, to be light and salt at times of great tribulation and difficulty. I mean, the whole church's history is lived out in trial, in persecution. We in this country have been blessed in a particular way to have had very little trial and difficulty in terms of opposition to the gospel and living out the gospel. The heat is now being turned up. That whole history could be over. I mean, we certainly are moving away from it very dramatically as a culture. We're becoming more publicly secular. We're embracing a different kind of culture, a set of different values, a different story to inform our way of life. A story that Pope Benedict described it this way last year. He said, you know, there's a new anti-Christian creed that's emerging in the earth, especially in the Western world. It's here in the United States. He said what's fueling it really is the spirit of the Antichrist. That's why it's worth looking at what St. Paul, our Lord, and others have said about his return. I read yesterday from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the first part, verses 1 through 12. I'll just read the end of it again to kind of bring you up to speed if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday. And I encourage you, if you didn't, you can find it on our website or just go to the App Store and download the Renewal Ministries app or the Ave Maria app. You can listen to these things whenever you want to. And also these programs, mine, Sister Ann's, Al Cresta's, and the rest. You can also watch our YouTubes, Renewal Ministries. We talk about these things. In fact, Ralph Martin did a video at one point on, I think, the same topic, and almost 350,000 people have watched it. It's important to see. It's important to be informed and to understand what the Lord wants us to know. So here's Paul. Let's start with verse 6 or verse 8. I don't have my glasses on, but he said, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by his appearing and his coming." So there's a restrainer now. Could be the church. It could be a variety of things, human conscience, healthy family, the church itself, even governments that respect God. There's a whole range of things that could be at work helping restrain the unbridled rise of evil. But a time is coming when what is restraining the rise of the Antichrist and the devil's final plan is going to be unveiled. It's going to be lifted. And then he's going to come forth with power. But then when Jesus comes, he's coming to destroy him definitively. That's what Paul is saying here. The coming of the lawless one by the activity of Satan, the one who's driving it, will be with all power and with the pretended signs and wonders. So signs and wonders are present in the kingdom of God. It's important to see, but it's important to discern. What are those signs and wonders? Where are they coming from? Their origin, and you can always tell by their fruit. That's really how you can discern. Ultimately, does it lead somebody to greater love for God, surrender to Christ, repentance, humility, love of God, love of neighbor, these kinds of things? What kind of fruit is it bearing? The Antichrist is going to dazzle people, and he's going to have lots of power. I mean, look how easy it is for human beings today to just follow powerful and influential people, people with big personalities, very influential politicians or entertainers or athletes, people with big influence and money and who have lots of bling and gold and big homes and all the rest of people. Oh, wow, these are the important people and how much they pay attention to them. We haven't seen anything yet. When the Antichrist comes, everything you've seen so far in life is just going to be dwarfed by this character, this historical figure. And he's going to come with all wicked deception for those who are to perish. So deception is a key thing. It's a key strategy of the enemy. He's going to deceive. He's going to lead people away from the truth. Understand this, at every point in history, the central issue is allegiance to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, especially for every disciple. The question is, am I radically receiving and walking in all the truth that Jesus revealed about himself, about the world, about me, about God the Father, and about human history? Being loyal to Jesus is crucial, and the devil's trying to lead people through deception into believing, seducing them into believing lies and to rejecting the truth. That's one of the things that's going on in our culture today, friends, this whole idea everybody has their own truth. Everybody makes up their own truth. Everybody lives by their own truth. This is certainly people have the power to do that. Actually, it's a God-given power. But nobody has the right to call falsehood truth. No one has a right, a moral right, to call good evil and evil good. You certainly have the power to do it. But what's happening is there's a deep deception about what truth actually is. It's no longer a correspondence to reality. It's no longer a person perfectly revealing it in Jesus Christ. It's something that originates in people's feelings, people's own ideas, energy, you name it, gurus. It's all over the place. It's like one of the consensuses across the whole culture now, the contemporary moment of this changing culture, is an agreement that, you know, truth basically is relative. Truth is basically a thing everybody gets to make up. And if you get in the way of that, you're getting in the way of their fundamental rights. And this is what's true. What's true is that there is no ultimate truth. That's an ultimate truth itself. So it's self-contradictory, but that's really what dominates the culture. So that's what Paul describes here for us. Now the catechism, taking a look at paragraph 675, for example, it says, before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. Here it's referring to the great apostasy. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in place of God and his Messiah come in the flesh. The central battle there. So the catechism is simply echoing scripture, which is what it always does. And it communicates that the church is indeed, as Jesus warned, as the apostle said, will go through a final trial. Now, the church knows that time on earth is a time of tribulation. So the church always lives in trial. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. It's a very, very important thing to be able to see and to understand about life, because if you don't get it, it's very easy to live life frustrated, angry, confused. Why doesn't God change this? Why don't things work? Why is there so much problem in the world, difficulties and the like? Because this is a fallen world. And why is there growing opposition to the church again? And why is it happening here and now? Because we're in a battle. And so the catechism underlines clearly what Jesus taught and the apostles together. So there's going to be an unveiling. And that's partly, Paul says, another way maybe of Paul was saying, the restrainer that restrains the full flowering, maybe it's too positive a word, of evil in our time. So he said the mystery of iniquity is going to be revealed, and it's going to be revealed as a religious deception. Deception's at the key, at the core of it. And one of the things we see today is, as Pope Benedict described, there's an Antichrist creed, you know, fueled by an Antichrist spirit that is creating a kind of global movement that has spiritual elements to it, that's defining itself as a church of, you know, churches of tolerance, not churches that proclaim Christ as Lord, but churches that are emerging. The whole focus is on embracing a definition of tolerance, which isn't a real expression of tolerance. That is, we tolerate everybody's expression of truth in the sense that we affirm it. That's what the current culture is trying to communicate. That tolerance, trying to redefine tolerance, instead of saying, well, tolerance from a Christian point of view is every human being has dignity, is made in the image and likeness of God, and is of infinite value. How do we know that? Because scripture tells us, and Jesus came and became one of us and died for the human race and died to seek to save every single person. That's how valuable human beings are. And so we also tolerate their freedom. It's a God-given freedom to design their life in a way even that displeases him. They have a right to say and do, in the sense of they have the power to say and do. But tolerance does not mean I affirm what people, I affirm lies. I affirm the kind of things that are emerging in this anti-Christian creed. The redefinition of humanity, of human beings, of marriage, of family, of value, the rejection of God, making up our own gods, affirming witchcraft and New Age and all these different kinds of things that are happening, saying evil is good, good is evil, black is white, white is black, all of that. Yes, people have the power to say that, but tolerance doesn't mean, yes, I will publicly affirm you in all those things, and that's your truth, and I salute your truth, and I affirm your truth, and I'm going to use my power and my energy to get behind that. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow, friends. Hope you can join me.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.